Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 425, the fifth stanza. Jehovah's truth will stand forever, his covenant bonds he will not sever. The word of grace which he commands to 1,000 generations stands. The covenant made in days of old with Abraham he doth uphold. Psalter 425, the fifth stanza. Out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Acts 22, the verses 1 through 16. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Acts 22, the first 16 verses. Amen, brethren and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence, and he saith, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day. And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, as also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I receive letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, as suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me, and I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light, and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise, and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him, and he said, The God of our fathers had chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see thy just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Thus far the scripture reading. Let us try to ask the Lord for his blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, 'tis for the second time on this holy day of rest that it hath pleased thee to open the doors of thy house of prayer, that we may be separated from the world, and that we may hear what thou hast to say unto us. Then in this day, thy mercies have been multiplied, and then thou was granted in this evening more reasons to thank thee, and to that end, may it also be a house of thanksgiving. And Lord, thou knowest the true thanksgiving is not found in the natural heart. There's a gift which thy dear Son has merited for his people, granted by the Holy Spirit, and thou requirest that true thanksgiving. Wilt thou give what thou requirest, and it is merited good for thy children, but may it then even be with our tongue that we are given to remember thy blessings. Then thou wast granted healing unto many, and most of the family circles where there has been much sickness, in the midst of the family circles, and thou wast spared, and thou wast granted healing, then we do well to count our blessings one by one. And may it then be the goodness of the Lord that leadeth to that true repentance. Lord, may it also in this evening hour, that it may be a house of conversions. We have heard of thy wonderful works, of thy wonderful grace, and the life of Saul, where he was stopped, where he was turned, where he was drawn, where he was instructed, and where he was saved. Then he has asked thee, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? May thy word be used for that end in this hour. May it also be a house of instruction. Remember thy Zion. May it be a house of comfort, a house of encouragement. Do remember the smoke and flaxes and the broken reeds, when there are those times when it seems that it all becomes less, and that it shall all come to nothing. But, our Lord, thou hast a people that cannot leave thee alone and that are given to continue to supplicate each time by renewal for a token of thy favor. But thy Zion needs further blessings, not only those tokens, those evidences, but they need the application of the blood of the dear Son of God as the way to the Father. Do bless the manifold means of grace. Do help the consistory to that end, who is sufficient unto these things. Help also fathers and mothers with the instruction of their dear children. Another school year is approaching. Wilt thou help and remember with all the preparations, and do spare us for the remaining weeks of this time of vacation. We commend unto thee our theological school, where it soon hopes to commence. And this afternoon, a brother elder in a sister congregation has laid down his office. And this week, with his wife, some children, they hope to travel. Some of the family shall remain behind with a few graves. Wilt thou be the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire? May his eyes be upon thee. We remember all mission work. Remember thy servant, the team, the husband and wife, learning another language. May be according to thy will. Wilt thou incline a heart that may labor in Peru? We commend unto thee the Jewish people, the Jewish nation, and the persecuted church. Remember the nations of the earth, where there is so much suffering, war, civil unrest, the homeless, the destitute, great numbers in prison and institutions of mercy, and then the billions that, if not the truth of thy holy word, but they all have a soul for eternity. Wilt thou remember our poor country, where it sinks away under the judgments of the hardening of the heart, where there is a multiplying of sin? O Lord, do place a fiery wall round about us and our dear children, where the temptations are so manifold and so great. Wilt thou work with thy Holy Spirit in our community? We remember all widowers, widows, half orphans, those that have brought children to the grave, and other dear ones. Oh, do continue to uphold them. Remember all of our elderly ones and our Bethesda, those that may still go in and out. An old husband, together with his wife, hopes to remember that thou was spared for 89 years. The infirmities are increasing. they may still dwell together. May it please thee to grant a good day. We remember all the afflicted ones, different circumstances, different ailments. Remember the handicapped daughter. May the physicians continue to receive wisdom and understanding. The means may be blessed, the calling sanctified. We remember all the handicapped ones, crosses and burdens. Oh, do bless the family circles with abundant love, where thy word may exhort its blessed influence. Remember those that struggle with temptations and addictions. Wilt thou grant deliverance? Remember prodigal sons and daughters who have left us. Continue to provide for our daily bread. Remember man and beast. And now by renewal on this day, Lord, we humbly ask thee for thy help, some words to speak, and may thy word be blessed to the hearts of young and old. By renewal, many blessings to acknowledge thee for, many needs, there are many desires. Wilt thou keep us from sinful desires, and that lawful desires may be fulfilled, receiving them in the way of prayer. May we be found more to be a praying people, given to bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. By renewal needful to confess, nothing to plead upon, but, O Lord, thou hast sent in thy word to the house of Israel. I do it not for your sake, but I do it for my great name's sake. May then thy name be glorified. Take away everything that could be a hindrance. Bind the devil. Help the little boys and the little girls to listen and to understand. Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 142, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O God, be merciful to me. On thy grace I rest my plea. Plenteous in compassion thou, blot out my transgressions now. And what follows, Psalter 142, the first three stanzas. in this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 27, the question and answer 72, 73, and 74. Question 72, is then the external baptism with water the washing away of sin itself? Answer, not at all. For the blood of Jesus Christ only and the Holy Ghost cleanse us from all sin. Question 73, why then doth the Holy Ghost call baptism the washing away of regeneration and the washing away of sins? Answer, God speaks thus not without great cause, to wit, and not only thereby to teach us that as the filth of the body is purged away by water, as so our sins are removed by the blood and spirit of Jesus Christ, but especially that by this divine pledge and sign, he may assure us that we are spiritually cleansed from our sins, as really as we are externally washed with water. Question 74, are infants also to be baptized? Answer, yes. For since they, as well as the adult, are included in the covenant and church of God, and since redemption from sin by the blood of Christ and the Holy Ghost, the author of faith, is promised to them no less than to the adult, they must therefore by baptism, as a sign of the covenant, be also admitted into the Christian church and be distinguished from the children of unbelievers, as was done in the Old Covenant or Testament by circumcision, instead of which baptism is instituted in the New Covenant. Lord's Day 27 speaks of the water of the sacrament of holy baptism, with three thoughts. In the first place, the overvaluing of holy baptism. Secondly, the undervaluing of holy baptism. And in the third place, the children receiving holy baptism. The water of the sacrament of holy baptism, the overvaluing of holy baptism, number 72, the undervaluing of holy baptism, 73, and the children receiving holy baptism, in number 74. Then we read congregation in question 72, is then the external baptism with water the washing away of sin itself? Then we must understand that question aright. then the question is not asked whether the water in baptism washes away sin. No, all churches, all denominations that baptize in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, then they shall tell us how far that they have erred, that the water itself cannot wash away sin, but only the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then our instructors in this Lord's Day, then they have two times mentioned the blood of Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit. That is an important point, because many in our day, they do indeed speak of Christ as the Savior who has merited salvation, but then by their own free will, then they take and receive those benefits, and so they continue their way, but they have never become a poor and a lost sinner, and never come to an end with all their works. And for the true child of God, they learn more and more the necessity of the work, the application of the Holy Spirit. But now the question in our Lord's Day is, when a child is now baptized with water in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit, when that now taketh place, does anything or something happen with that person? And that is where many errors have come into the church, where to the sacraments, also the sacrament of holy baptism, that they have given a magical power to the same. Already Augustus, oh, he was converted by the grace of God, a light in the church, and nevertheless already he, in his writings, then he has indicated that when baptism is administered, that it has a certain effect, leaning toward the thought that with baptism, then our original sin is washed away. And later have even added by some in the church that the actual sins committed until that moment were also washed away. And to that end, there were those in the 3rd and 4th century, Augustine did not go that far. He is implied in his writings concerning original sin. There were others that have went much further, and therefore there were those in the church. They were sincere. They were concerned about their never-dying soul. They needed a place in heaven. And to that end, there have been those that have postponed their baptism as long as possible, so that as many as actual sins they have committed, they would be washed away. Of course, our boys and girls can understand it. That was a very dangerous thing to do, because not all people receive a deathbed, a sickbed, as some are so unexpectedly ushered out of this life. And that tells us that we and our dear children must not postpone our conversion. But the Lord says, when we hear his voice, that we may hear it today and turn unto the Lord. May that urgency be impressed upon the hearts of young and old and people. When the Lord works by his Spirit, then there comes an urgency, because when we learn the brittle thread of our life, one step between us and death, then haste is necessary. The Roman Catholic Church, they have taught that when the sacrament of baptism is administered, that original sin is washed away, and that that sacrament that infuses grace for sanctification to walk in all good works. The Roman Catholic Church, they make salvation dependent upon the sacraments. But it is clear in the Scriptures that it is not so, because we read of different ones that they were first saved and then they received the sacrament. Think of Abram. Think of the Ethiopian in Acts 8. And also we have read out of Acts 22 that Paul was converted before he was baptized. Martin Luther, whom the Lord has used as his instrument to bring the church out of the house of bondage, out of the Roman Catholic Church, and how clearly he has experienced that it was grace alone, works excluded. Oh, the truth has come on the pulpits, justification by faith only. But there were still different heirs that still clave unto Martin Luther. And in his writings, then it is not so clear, but there are indications in his writings that he implies that the sacrament of holy baptism, as it were, is a wagon to bring grace to the one that is baptized. Then there are many that speak of covenant children. Then in the Christian Reformed Church, Abram Kuyper, the organizer, a man with much light, but he is also erred, where he was given to believe that when the sacrament was administered, that it sealed the grace in the person. And to that end, he felt, to be honest to his God and to the congregation, then he has said, when children are born in the church and under the covenant children, then we must presume that they are regenerated, and to that end they may receive the sacrament of holy baptism. But it is so clear in the Scriptures that all covenant children, that they are not all children of God, there are under them. We have the examples in the scriptures, but when we think of Israel, when we think of the seed of Abram, then we mention Jacob and Esau. Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And Esau was also circumcised. And Paul has written to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 5 to give and to speak of that people that went through the sea, that were under the cloud, were baptized by the water of the cloud to speak spiritually. But with many of them, God was not well pleased. Thus then we see that there are many errors that have come into the church concerning the sacrament of holy baptism. Then in the church, there has also come different thoughts and different opinions concerning the manner in which baptism is administered. The Baptists and the Greek Orthodox Church, they tell us that it must only be by immersion. But the Western Church is also the Church of the Reformation, has stated that the mode of administering, that is not the most important, but the thing that it signifies. And what does the scripture say? Then we read in our Bible 32 times that word sprinkling. In Exodus 24, at the foot of Mount Sinai, when the altar was built, the pillars, and then we read that the congregation was sprinkled with blood. In Ezekiel 36, verse 25, the promise that the Lord would sprinkle clean water upon them. When we think of the furniture of the tabernacle, the brazen laver, 'tis true, and not written how large the laver was, but when we read the ceremonial laws, and also concerning the priesthood, then each time by renewal we read of sprinkling. And in the temple, the large laver of Solomon, then there were those 12 carts on wheels with water. It implies that there was sprinkling or washing, but then it is not so much implied immersion. What about concerning the sacrament of holy baptism administered in the New Testament? Then undoubtedly it is implied when John the Baptist has administered the sacrament of holy baptism at the River Jordan, that it was immersion or perhaps pouring. But there are other examples where that is very unlikely. On the day of Pentecost, what a wonderful day that was, where in one day 3,000 were converted and they were baptized. We do not read in Jerusalem of a large body of water. The River Jordan was at a distance, and it would be impossible on that day for that great multitude to walk that distance to go to the Jordan River. Thus implied that there was sprinkling. Also concerning the baptism of Lydia the jailer and their households, it cannot be proven. Thus the mode, that is not the most important, but the matter signified. Thus our first point, the many errors concerning the sacrament of holy baptism, concerning what it signifies and what takes place. To that end, in our form, we have heard it oftentimes, then the sacrament of holy baptism must not be administered out of superstition or out of custom. A superstition that is an overvaluing, and custom that is an undervaluing. And now, congregation, how is it now with this first point concerning the overvaluing of the sacrament of holy baptism? And then I hear many answer, but you have mentioned many errors, and we do not agree with those errors, because it is written in the Bible, as the instructors have answered, not at all. For the blood of Jesus Christ only, and the Holy Ghost cleanse us from all sin. But may then ask you, what are we now trusting in? What are we now hoping in concerning our salvation and our eternal home? Is there perhaps a trusting, a hoping? We are still under the truth, a great blessing, a great privilege. We are separated from the world, at least I hope so. We do not have a free will religion. We believe in the doctrines of free and sovereign grace. We read in Jeremiah 7 verse 14 that the children of Israel have said, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. And in Matthew 3, when the children of Israel came unto John the Baptist, they trusted therein that they were the children of Abram. But except a man is born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Young and old, when we speak of the overvaluing of holy baptism, may I ask you, what is your hope for eternity? Because we cannot really live without a hope. But we need to be wrought upon, shall all be too short, shall even testify against us when under the truth, if we have to go lost, the much labor bestowed upon our souls and our baptized forehead. But our form speaks not only of superstition, but it also speaks of custom. That is our second thought. The undervaluing of holy baptism. And now the question is asked, if that is now the case, that only the blood of Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost cleanse us from all sin, why did then the Holy Ghost, because the scriptures were written by inspiration of the Spirit, why did the Holy Ghost now use such strong language in the scriptures? And the Lord knew that it would be misused, that much error would come. But why did the Holy Ghost now use such strong language that he calls the sacrament of holy baptism? In Titus 3 verse 5, we have heard those texts in the last Lord's Day, the washing away of regeneration. And in Acts 22 verse 16, that Ananias, we have read it together. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And then the instructors, they have mentioned, and not without great cause. Ah, the Lord knows his child. They are so ignorant. They can be so assaulted. And that washing away of their sins, that is such a great matter. That is the matter for the true people of God. Does not mean that those souls have no hope, but they are so timid. And the prince of darkness shoots many a fiery arrow. They can be so tossed to and fro. And now for those children with their little faith, and then it is pleased the Spirit to use very strong language, that they may be instructed, that they may be encouraged, and that they may be ensured. Thus the Holy Ghost, then in the first place, to use such strong language to stress the great matter that is signified. In the next place, it is a sacramental way of speaking. We have different examples. Circumcision is called the covenant. The lamb is called the Passover. And concerning the Lord's Supper shall be explained in the coming Lord's Day. Then Christ has said with the institution of the Lord's Supper, this is my body, and that means this signifies my body. Thus a sign, a seal, the instructors have added that word pledge. Thus the undervaluing of the sacrament of holy baptism. And to that end, the Bible uses expressive terms concerning what is signified in the sacrament. And now the form says, a superstition or custom, overvaluing or undervaluing. And what do you think, congregation? On which side do we err? Or do we have it exactly right? Because oftentimes the church is a blessing when the pendulum may hang in the middle. But many times in the history of the church, as a reaction to false, then the church can go too far the other way. And then on which side do we err? What do you think? Fathers and mothers, young people, overvalue, then you shall say no. We do not agree with all those false thoughts about holy baptism. We know to be under the external administration of the covenant of grace, that is too short. I need to be born again. I need to experience the precious things of the Lord as a poor sinner, to be washed of all my sins. Then I think it's good to examine ourselves. What about that undervaluing? Are we then not guilty? Then we could examine, fathers and mothers, before our child was baptized, was there now a week of preparation? Were there exercises? Have there been baptisms? Let's say one baptism in our family circle, fathers and mothers, that has become unforgettable, that you do not remember the exercises, the prayers, and the begging, that you were given to see something of the riches that great and majestic God has placed this thrice holy name upon the forehead of my little child, that when you stood by the baptismal fount, oh, that you were given to see the riches thereof, the possibility, the sureness of the covenant of grace. And then when you returned homewards, was there a valuing, a little bewilderment, that you have took your little child home as a God-bearer, and that you have come in secret places at different times, pleading upon the sacrament of baptism, O people? Let us be honest, how often do we think of our own baptism, that we are baptized in the name of a triune God, receive the sign and the seal of the covenant? O people of God, has it ever been for encouragement, the undervaluing of the sacrament of holy baptism? And then the question can even arise in the minds and the hearts of our young people. Does it now really make so much difference whether I am baptized in the name of a triune God or not? What do you think? Oh, do we often think, my dear young friends, the privileges to be under the external administration of the covenant of grace, to be under the proclamation of law and gospel, to be under the prayers of the church, whereby those prayers, then the Lord may still place a certain fiery wall round about you, to be under the admonitions of the church. When we consider the church of the Old Testament, oh, that people of Israel, that was a chosen people, that was a separated people, that was a privileged people. There were none upon the earth as the children of Israel. What wonderful things they have experienced, the special favor, the special presence, the special blessing of the Lord. Oh, has the Lord not led them out with an high hand? Have they not experienced wonderful things in the wilderness? They had the man of the water out of the rock, the pillar of cloud, the pillar of fire, and under that external administration, the Spirit was pleased to gather his church, it is true, here one and there one, Ruth, a Rahab, a few more, they were gathered in. But the Lord is pleased to gather his church from among that people. Oh, what Balaam was given to see the privileges of those, of that people, of boys and girls, young people. Numbers 24, verse 5. How goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel. And that, of course, includes that we stay under that external administration. Would be an awful thing for those tents of Israel, where they had the pillar of cloud, the pillar of fire, Moses as their teacher. If there were would be children that would say, Father and Mother, I do not like these tents, I like to go elsewhere, that would be an awful thing. Our third thought, the children for holy baptism. Let us first sing Psalter 48, the stanzas 6, 7, and 8. For his the kingdom, his of right, he rules the nations by his might. All earth to him her homage brings, the Lord of lords, the King of kings. And what follows, Psalter 48, 6, 7, and 8.
Thank you.
the water of the sacrament of holy baptism, the overvaluing of holy baptism, the undervaluing of holy baptism, and now in the third place, the children receiving holy baptism. Question 74, are infants also to be baptized? There are many churches that say no. They say only adults who are enabled by faith to believe, they may be baptized, and little children cannot believe, so they are excluded. Of course, it makes it more confusing that there are churches, and then we mention the strict Baptists, where we agree with the experience, but we do not agree with the error concerning baptism. And then they shall tell us that nowhere in God's word is it commanded literally that children must be baptized. Then we could ask them, but tell me then where that it is forbidden. And then we could say the same, nowhere literally the Bible is written for rational people, and nowhere literally is it written in the Bible concerning the Lord's Day become the day of rest. And when we think of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, was instituted with 11 disciples, there was not one woman present, but no church would think to come up with the thought that the Lord's Supper is only for men. And now for those that are in opposition concerning the baptism of children, then they make a separation between the Old and the New Testament, because if they do not do it, then they run stuck. And then they tell us in the Old Testament, and then the Lord worked under that external administration concerning the people of Israel. But now in the New Testament, then the Lord does not work the same. And it is true concerning that external administration of the covenant that has become broader, Jew and Gentile, for all those that are under the proclamation of the Holy Word of God. And then the instructors, then they answer yes, for since they as well as the adult are included in the covenant and church of God. It is true, later a statement in this answer that could cause confusion, because then they have stated, be also admitted into the Christian church in the form which our fathers have written. And then they have written that as members of the church, they must be baptized. to make that clear and simple, then our boys and children, boys and girls can understand when a family circle receives a new baby, then that baby is a citizen of Canada with its birth. Does not become a citizen when the parents receive the birth certificate. And therefore, when we first read, included in the covenant and Church of God, and then later when they state, also admitted into the Christian Church, and then we must understand it when they are enrolled into the registers of the Church. And thus those that are in opposition to children being baptized, we could mention many facts and many reasons and many texts, but let us state in the Old Testament, and then everything was more veiled. Oh, then fathers and mothers, family circles were told when the Messiah would now come, the promised Messiah, to deliver his people, then everything would become richer in the midst of the Church. And now those that oppose the baptism of little children, and then they are actually telling us that that has not taken place in the Old Testament. Then also what a special place that children had under that external administration of the covenant. And then the boys, then they were circumcised when they were 8 days old. And when the children became a little older, and then for boys, 40 days old, girls, 80 days old, and then they were brought to the temple with a burnt and a sin offering. And now the New Testament has come, and then those that oppose infant baptism, then in the New Testament, then there is nothing for children. They are excluded. When we read the scriptures, oh, let us mention that text out of Matthew 19, verse 14. Then there were those that brought their children to Jesus. That is a blessed work. It is a required work, fathers and mothers, to bring them in the arms of prayer by faith. Need the Holy Spirit with the desire that Jesus may take those children up in his arms, lay his hands upon them, bless them, and pray over them. And then the disciples have rebuked then those that resist infant baptism. They are like those disciples. Oh, in the New Testament Church, then children and the youth, they also have a special place. I think boys and girls and young people, that you can hear that and that you can feel it, that you have a special place in the congregation, baptized in the name of a triune God, to be separated from the world and all strange religions, and to be a separate people, as Balaam has said in Numbers 23, verse 9, that Israel shall dwell alone, overvaluing, undervaluing, and the baptism for children, and then in our form, then we read precious words, the rich meaning of baptism, and the blessed portion, the blessed end, that may experience by the grace of God what is signified therein, by the work of the Holy Spirit to become a lost, a black sinner, and to be washed in the precious blood of Jesus. And then concerning the rich meaning, then we read, namely, the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal, the Lord grant by his grace and spirit that blessed portion for us and our children. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we may acknowledge thee that thou wast given unto us and our children another Lord's Day, another soul's mark a day, and then thou wast yet given a few words to speak, and then we need the pardoning of our sins in speaking and in listening. And then we have heard from the instruction, the riches of holy baptism, O Lord. We are God-bearers. May it be for us, and may it not have to testify against us to all eternity. Wilt thou grant meditations and prayer concerning the same. Thou wast given that we may commence an other week. O Lord, wilt thou graciously watch over us, the mothers in the home, on the way, at work, wherever we are called to be. Wilt thou keep us from sin and temptation, from harm and danger, from an unexpected, but above all, from an unreconciled death. Take us under thy good care and thy kind protection, O Lord, above all things. Work lovingly, irresistibly by thy Holy Spirit in the hearts of young and old. Wilt thou keep us from storms of destruction, provide our daily bread, bring us safely to our homes, and be the faithful watcher over us in this night, that we may awake refreshed, courage for our labors, and to be good stewards of what thou hast entrusted unto us. Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 394, the stanzas 1 and 2. I will extol thee, O my God, and praise thee, O my King. Yea, every day and evermore Thy praises I will sing, and what follows, 394, 1 and 2. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.